Wonderful seeing everyone tonight. Hope everyone had a great day with the Lord today. And as you lived, pray that you glorified Him in what you did. Thank you for your presence here tonight. Thank you for the encouragement that you give to one another and to me. Thank you for your service to the Lord. Thanks for being dedicated to Him. We are grateful for everyone here. We have some visitors with us tonight. Thank you for your presence. Pray that some things that we say tonight might be helpful to you as you strive to serve the Lord better. Back in 2014, LeBron James caused somewhat of an international incident when, in a photo with Prince Charles and Kate Middleton, he put his arm around her. From the Atlantic, perhaps the most oft-transgressed maxim is touching a member of the royal family in a manner that goes beyond a formal handshake. A guideline that likely dates back to the Middle Ages when, as the British historian Kate Williams has noted, monarchs were divinely appointed to rule by God, and so they were kind of seen as gods, so they demanded to be treated as gods. Mr. James should not have put his arm around Kate Middleton, the etiquette expert, William Hansen, told the Daily Mail this week. Americans are much more tactile than we Brits, and this is another example of an American being too touchy-feely with British royalty. You'd have thought they'd learned by now. Now, I bring that up to you because I wonder sometimes by our prayers if we think that God is British. Because sometimes our prayers to God are somewhat formal and somewhat distant and somewhat at arm's length. Now, think about it for a moment. I've heard prayers all of my life like you have. We are a praying group of people. And yet when you talk to Christians about areas where they want to improve, time and time again, almost without exception, one of the things I hear, and I'm sure Jeremy hears, is, I wish my prayer life were better. Now why is that? Well, a lot of times it's because our prayers are filled with a lot of phrases that we don't use all the time. And our prayers are sometimes very rote. They are prayers that we have prayed 1,000 times before. Now, I understand a lot of times our public prayers are different than our private prayers. And I guess to some degree or another, that is to be expected. My big concern is when my private prayers begin to sound like the public prayers. Because a lot of times, beloved, we would have to admit there is distance there. They are very formal, set apart. And that begins to impact us. And I think that's one of the reasons why people say, I wish my prayer life were different. Let's look at a few prayers in the Bible just very quickly, one after another. Open your Bible, 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. This is a prayer that came to light really a number of years ago and really became a big verse for people to look at based upon a book called The Prayer of Jabez. Jabez called on the God of Israel saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, and that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted what he requested. Go back a few pages to 2 Kings chapter 19. 2 Kings chapter 19, the Assyrians were breathing down the neck of the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem had no hope whatsoever. King Hezekiah prayed before the Lord, verse 15, and said, "O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, when he is sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the king of Assyria has laid waste the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into fire, for they are not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the nations, the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone." Open your Bible to Psalm 43. Psalm 43. "Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, For you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Why do you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. And you could read through chapter 44. Because the 44th Psalm deals with someone who had served the Lord, knew what the Lord wanted, and had tried to give the Lord faithful service, and yet life did not go the way he thought it would go. Open your Bibles to Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. This is a prayer that Daniel prayed while in captivity, beginning in verse 4. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God who keeps His covenant and His mercy with those who love Him and with those who keep His commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, as it is this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, to all Israel, those near and those far off, and all countries to which you have driven them because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. And then jump down to verse 17. Now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolation and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplication before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and for your people are called by your name. And then, of course, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, the model prayer. Verse 9, in this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen. Beloved, I want you to think for a minute, how much do our public prayers sound like these? And if we're honest, there's sometimes a big difference, right? When you start reading through these prayers, you find prayers that are intimate, prayers that are reverential, prayers that are heartfelt, prayers that are passionate, prayers that are genuine, and quite often prayers that are honest. And we read those prayers and we say, why can't my prayers sound like those prayers? What do I need to do to pray those types of prayers? To pray excellent prayers. Well, with everything, it all begins with excellent motivations. What motivates our prayers? Sometimes we say, well, duty motivates our prayers. Why? Because Paul said that we are supposed to pray for all men, right? So I have a duty to pray. We do have a duty to pray. But that's not the great motivation. You say, well, we're commanded to pray. And so, because we're commanded, we need to pray. And we do need to pray because we are commanded to pray. But I'll tell you this. Things that I'm commanded to do, oftentimes are things I don't want to do. When I was growing up, I was commanded by my parents to eat green beans. You know why? Because I didn't want to eat green beans. And I think sometimes that's the reason why we sometimes pray. We pray simply because we're commanded to pray. No wonder we don't have any intimacy. It's not just about duty. It's not just about a command. It is about a privilege. God gives us the ability and the right to go before the Creator of the universe and express ourselves to Him. This is a passage we're going to sit on in a few more minutes, but let's just sort of read it now and move on and we'll come back. John chapter 14, verses 13 through 14. Jesus said, "Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, I want you to be amazed by that. God has given us the right. Who is God? The Creator of the universe. The one who made Jupiter and Mars and the sun and all the galaxies has given us the right to come before Him and make requests. That's a big deal, guys. And we miss it sometimes because we think of it just in the terms of a command, our duty. And we forget this is a privilege. And why have we been given this privilege? We have been given this privilege because we are His children. We're not just His servants, though we are His servants. We're not just His creation, though we are His creation. We are His children. And as His children, He has given us the right to come before Him not just as a Creator, not just as our Lord, but as our Father. I want to suggest to you that if we can start getting that in our heads, that can begin to revolutionize the way we pray, because we start going to God because we have a place there with Him. We don't come before Him as people who are hoping to come before Him. We come before Him as His children, and He longs to have us there. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask Him?" Why? Because we're His children. And we come before Him as His children. That's why Jesus, in telling the parable of the woman who kept pestering the judge, said this. He spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray. And Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 7, "In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God." Let it be known. Go to Him. Why? You're His child. You have a right to go to Him. Not because you're so wonderful, but because of who He is. And He's claimed you as His own. So, Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing." If you and I are to pray excellent prayers, we've got to understand, beloved, we are doing something that is wonderful. And God has granted us an incredible privilege to turn to Him. So that's the first thing I want you to think about. The second thing is the extent of excellent prayer. Okay, so maybe we're sold on this point. Well, I need to start thinking about prayer differently, and I need to stop thinking as I'm commanded to pray. I need to start thinking that I've been given the privilege to come before God and express myself. But how do I express myself? What do I ask for? What are the limits? When do I go too far? Let's go back again to John 14, verses 13 through 14. Jesus said, "Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." So, I will ask you, what's the extent? For what can we ask in prayer? Well, Jesus said, "Whatever." And Jesus said, if you ask anything, you say, "Whatever? Anything?" And Jesus says, "Anything." Well, if I'm sick, can I ask it to get better? Yeah. If I want another car, can I ask for another car? Yeah. Can I ask for another house? Yeah. And we start getting a little itchy at this point, because we start thinking, well, you know, this isn't the health and wealth gospel. But what we end up doing sometimes is we almost feel guilty asking God for blessings. And we almost act like it's not appropriate for us to ask God for blessings. The prayer of Jabez is Jabez asking God to bless him. And you remember what the end of the verse said? God did. God's blessed a lot of people in the Bible. You say, well, there are a lot of people He didn't. That's key. All right? There are a lot of people who were poor. But I guess the point is, Jesus is giving us the right to ask anything. But there is a condition. And if you read this verse closely, you will see what that condition is. Jesus said we must ask in His name. That doesn't mean that we make sure we close our prayer with "in Christ's name." It means that when we pray to Him, we ask by His authority and we ask according to His will. That begins to give us a clearer idea of what we're talking about here. Can you ask the Lord for a new car? Yes, you can ask the Lord for a new car. But you must make sure that you ask it according to His will. Open your Bible to James chapter 4. James gives us some really good insight into this as well. James chapter 4 verse 3. James tells us you ask and you do not receive. Why? Because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Now that's telling us something. That means I can ask the Lord for a new vehicle. Maybe because I would like a new one. Maybe I need a new one. Maybe I'd like a new one. And I ask the Lord, "Lord, I would like this, if it's your will." If it's not the Lord's will, and I'm asking with the right attitude, I'm going to be okay with that. The Lord says no. But if I'm asking amiss, I'm going to be so upset. I'm going to be so focused on that new car or that house. And that's when I have the wrong attitude. Now that's becoming the thing that drives me. Not the Lord, not a relationship with Him, but a thing. And that's when we've crossed into the wrong territory. That's not the type of prayer that Jesus is talking about. Jesus is telling us you can go to God about anything. You can ask Him for anything, but you've got to understand this is going to be according to His will. This is not a promise that God is going to give us everything we ask for. And it is not a promise that every prayer will be answered to our satisfaction. You and I have to understand that. Because if we don't understand that and we plow into this thinking we can just ask for anything, you will be sorely disappointed at some point in your life. You and I have to understand that God in His wisdom will listen to our request. And sometimes God will say, "Okay, don't be afraid to ask God for things that you may enjoy." Do you get upset if your children come to you and ask you for something? So why would we begin to think that God would get upset? He may say no. And if we begin to become obsessed with something, just like my children may be, I may get a little perturbed at them sometime, and I may correct them, and God may correct us. But if you come before Him with the right attitude, come before Him and ask for whatever. Understanding that it may not be according to His will. And sometimes He will say no to us. He did to the Apostle Paul. Open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7. Paul wrote, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger from Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me." Now here's Paul. Paul is this type A personality. He is driven. He's going one place to another to another. He wants to go. Now he is limited. What does he do? He asks God to remove that thorn in the flesh. Is anything wrong with that? Was it improper for him to ask for the Lord to do that? He's not rebuked for that. But he is told this. "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.'" Well, what's the answer? No. Was God yelling at him? Was Christ yelling at him? No. Just say no. You're not going to get that request. God's not a genie, you know, that we just rub the vase and he pops out, "What do you want?" You know, he's not like that. We come before him with anything. And I guess this is the point on this one. One of the reasons why our prayers sometimes are so lifeless is because we feel so restricted and we feel like we have to be limited in what we ask for.
And what Jesus is telling us is, if you're His child, you can ask for anything. Don't limit God. You want to get better? Pray for God to get you better. You want to pray for a loved one? Pray for a loved one. You want to go somewhere? Pray to go somewhere. Why? You're His child. He wants to know about you and to learn about you more and to grow closer to you. So you just pray. But you pray knowing that sometimes your prayer will not be answered the way you want. Paul did that. And Jesus did that. In the Garden of Gethsemane. If it is possible, let this cup pass from me. The cup didn't pass. So don't limit what you ask for. But understand when you ask, sometimes your prayer may not be answered the way you would like. And remember the passage in Matthew chapter 7 that God is our Father and He's not going to give you a scorpion. Sometimes, as I remember that God's not going to always answer the prayers the way I want, I also have to remember that sometimes the answer to my prayer is not the removal of a problem. Sometimes the answer to my prayer is remembering the presence of God with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because the problem's been removed? No. Because You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Sometimes I have to begin to understand that the answer to my prayer, as I've asked, may not be what's best, but God is always with me, and I draw comfort from that. And sometimes I also have to understand that my prayer in being answered is not to change my circumstance, which I oftentimes pray for. Sometimes God is trying to change us. So going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said concerning this thing, he pled that it would depart from him. Verse 9, Christ said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." What was Paul's response? "Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." You know, Paul began to say, okay, I'll change. If I have to go through this, I will change. But don't hold yourself back. Go to God and pray to God. Final point. We need to understand the power of excellent prayer. What kind of power is behind this prayer? What kind of limitations do we place on God sometimes because of our own perceived concepts? Going back to John 14, 13 through 14, Jesus said, "Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. That my Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Again, anything? Anything. If it's according to His will, ask. How many times do we limit our prayers by A, not asking God for what we would like, and number two, but beginning to believe that He cannot accomplish what we want? Case in point. I've been at the hospital at times when someone is really, really looking bad. And I prayed, "God, please heal this person." But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, it ain't going to happen. Because they're too far gone. You see the disconnect? I'm praying that He heals them, but I'm really not thinking He can do it. Because they're too far gone. I'll tell you a quick story. We had a lady in our congregation 15 years ago. One Thursday morning, she collapsed with a brain aneurysm. That night, we probably had 100 people in the congregation up in the emergency room, and people were praying. One of the members at that time was a doctor, and because of that, he was able to go back and see her. He came out and he sat next to me, and I said, "What do you think?" He said, I've seen them start harvesting organs from people in this state. That wasn't good. But we kept praying. And she came out of it. So the doctors say, okay, well, she's come out of it, but she's going to be a vegetable. And then she wasn't a vegetable. The people kept praying. They said, okay, she's not going to be a vegetable, but she will be flatlined because of where the aneurysm took place. She will have no personality whatsoever, just flatlined. Now, her personality is a little different today, but it's definitely not flatline. And my point is that we prayed, and I'll confess, there were times I prayed that I just didn't think anything would happen, but the Lord worked, okay? The Lord can accomplish whatever He wants to accomplish. Yes, I understand that God does not work miracles today through the hands of people because that is not necessary today. The Word of God is confirmed and we don't need miracles to confirm that. That does not mean that God does not work today. And it does not mean that God will not work any way He wants to work today. And what we need to do is stop limiting God. We need to let God decide what He will bless us with. We need to let God decide the extent to which He will bring His power into our lives and the lives of other people. But that's not what we do sometimes. We can fall into very safe prayers. Why? Because if I don't ask God for anything, I don't have to evaluate whether He blessed me or not, and I don't have to wrestle with whether He's there or not. If I don't ask Him to do difficult things sometimes, I don't have to look at whether He did them or not. I know in saying this, that God is not again going to answer every prayer the way we ask. Some of you know that better than I do. That is not the point. The point is we have to believe He can accomplish whatever. Joshua chapter 10. Joshua requested that God, it's not said that He did, but God made the sun stand still. We talked about that. The earth stopped rotating, the solar system, I don't know. But the text does tell us that God heeded the voice of a man. Which means that Joshua made that request. God did it. Well, that's the Old Testament, you know. That's in the Old Testament. Do you believe that God still has the power to do that today if He wanted to? Simple question. And the answer to that question should be a resounding yes. Jesus said in Matthew 17 that if we have faith, a mountain can be moved. I know to a great extent that is hyperbole. But let me just ask you, do you believe that if God wanted to move a mountain today, He could do it? The Empire Strikes Back. Star Wars. May get nerdy for a moment, but yeah, Luke's on this planet and he's being trained in the ways of the Force by Yoda. And Luke's ship has crashed in this bog, and Yoda wants him to use the Force to move it out. I know it gets really, you know, psycho here, but anyway, roll with me. And Luke tries to do it, and the plane sort of starts coming. Then it goes down, and Luke says, "It can't be done." And Yoda goes over and he puts his head, and the X-Wing fighter comes out and it moves over. And Luke says, "I don't believe it." And Yoda says, "That's why you fail." Now, in a biblical sense, one of the reasons why our prayers are not excellent is we don't throw it all out there to God. You say, "Well, I've done it before and it doesn't work." That's why we fail, beloved. That's why we have no faith. Excellent prayers are prayers that say, "I'm going to put it out there. I'm going to pray for whatever. But if God says no, I'm all right with that. And I'm going to pray that God do sometimes things that just seem impossible. And if He says no, I'm okay with that." But let me tell you, when you pray like that, and God says yes, And God begins to do things that you didn't expect. Your prayers and your faith are going to start growing. And I know you're going to be disappointed sometimes. This isn't going to happen all the time. But if you do it, the Lord will answer your prayers. Sometimes He will say yes. And sometimes He will do things that you did not expect. And your prayer will grow. Your life will grow. And your prayer life will grow. I'll tell you another quick story. Last year, my youngest daughter has a learning disability, and we wanted to put her in a school that was a private school, but it was a school that would help her more. This necessitated my wife working outside the home. She hadn't worked outside the home in 20 years. So last year, probably about April, she began to put resumes out there. She got nothing whatsoever. So we were okay, and I was praying from time to time, you know, God, please provide a job so Coco can go to school and she can learn better. But I'll tell you, I was not praying in earnest. So Teresa's not getting anything, and July rolls around. We're a month away from school starting, and I can carry the tuition for like a month or two. I can't carry it for very long. And so the beginning of July, I start praying with a lot more intensity. And I did something I've never done before. I set a date. I asked God to answer this prayer by July 29th. That was a Friday. And I made it clear, before you start thinking this is too weird, I made it clear, if the Lord doesn't answer it, that's His call. But I am His child, and He has given me the right to come before Him in prayer. So I made the request. And for a whole month, I was praying that over and over and over again. On Monday the 25th, we still have nothing. On Tuesday the 26th, there's a job she finds out about at a store. She goes and talks to the owner of the store, and things go really well. On Thursday the 28th, she gets a telephone call from the owner of the store. I want you to come and work for us. That is great. But Teresa needed 24 hours in order of work every week in order to for us to make what she needed to make. The lady goes, I can't do 24 hours. I can only do 2 days. Teresa goes, well, I can't do that. So she hung up the phone, and I was just like beaten down. But I prayed again, you know, Lord, you know what's best. I'm still going to be faithful to you. And I trust you. I don't know what's going to happen here. On Friday the 29th, at 9 o'clock in the morning, the telephone rang. And it was her boss. Well, who is now her boss. Let the cat out of the bag. The lady said, I really want you to come work for me. I can give you 24 hours a week. On the 29th of July. Now, I'm not saying that in order to try to manipulate you with the story. I'm trying to help you see that in my own prayer life, there is a journey and there are changes and there are lessons that I learn. What I learned in that was leave it up to God. And I'll tell you, if God had not answered the prayer the way I wanted, that would have been okay. And God doesn't always answer the prayer the way we want. So I don't want anyone to think you can just go out there and just in any situation, that's not the way it works. But there are times that God will say yes. But we've got to ask. And we've got to trust. Leave it to Him. And I will tell you, during that month, when I prayed more and I prayed more, my prayer life grew. And anyone will tell you, when they go to God in prayer, deeply, anxiously in prayer, and they give their heart over the Lord, and they pray honestly and intimately with Him, even if those prayers are not answered the way they would like, they will tell you their prayer life grew. So don't hold back. Mark chapter 11 verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you'll have them. James 5:17, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Beloved, this becomes a matter of faith. And it becomes something we have to ask ourselves, do we really believe what the Bible says? Or will we continue to pray anemic prayers that involve no risk whatsoever? And will we be surprised when our prayer life and our devotion does not grow anymore? Jesus gives us the right to come before Him and pray. He's not going to do everything we ask. But God in His wisdom will decide what is best for us. Isn't that wonderful? I'll tell you, over the years there have been things that I prayed for when I was younger. I'm glad God didn't answer the way I asked them. I'm glad in His wisdom that I've gone through some bumps along the way. And I'm glad He has the power to do whatever He needs to do. Let's pray excellent prayers. Go before God, fully trusting in Him. And let your prayer life grow with Him. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father, hallowed be Your name. We honor You this evening. Dear Father, we marvel that You have given us such an incredible blessing in prayer, that You listen to us, that we can come before You as Your children and we can make whatever request. We pray, dear Father, that our request will not be carnally driven. We pray, dear Father, that we will always think about what is best within Your kingdom, that we will always strive to put You first. We will be accepting of whatever Your answer is in any situation, whether it's difficult or whether it's pleasant. Help our faith to grow. Help us to love You more. Help us, dear Father, to trust in You and to let Your power do what it needs to do within our lives today. Help us, dear Father, grow closer to You. Help us to go to You in prayer daily, several times a day. Help us to put things aside. Help us to sit down and pray to You. Help us to put everything else aside. Help us when we're driving places to just go to You in prayer. Help us to tell You what we need to tell You, what we want to tell You. Help us to be intimate with You. Help us to be genuine, true, honest. And thank You for listening. And thank You for saying no sometimes. Thank You for helping us grow in those no answers to become more of who You would have us to be. And help us always to trust You, yes or no, to know that You know what is best. And help us to glory in that. Help us to walk closer to You, in greater fellowship with You, in more intimate relationships with You. Help us to view You as our Creator. Help us to view You as our Lord. But especially help us to view You as our Father. Forgive us for our sins. We ask most humbly in Your Son's name. Amen.